Well, a concerned viewer recently sent me some images in Telegram. If you're not in there yet, please subscribe to my Telegram. It's Z Media, Z-E-E-E, one word, Z Media, because there are amazing individuals in there doing some research. And what you're seeing on your screen right now are some of those images. This person said that they're finding this in the sputum of one of their family members who's just been diagnosed with, is being tested for a heart condition. Now, that is very, very alarming. They said, why haven't the researchers picked up on this yet? So I contacted some of those researchers. The first one to get back to me was Shimon Janowitz and Dr. David Nixon and a whole heap of others who've been looking into this. And Shimon joins us today to explain how this is potentially in the sputum of the uninjected people. You see, he says it's shedding or spreading through fumes. The nanotechnology inside of people that have had the injections has been engineered to be able to spread when you're just having a conversation with someone. He brings forth this shocking study of a vial that broke in a lab and the fact that it affected everyone in the lab just by being near the vial. It's absolutely astounding. And so we're going to go through that today along with some of the stuff that he has found about the sputum. And he explains how there are potentially now proteins that we haven't considered in the injections. It's absolutely fascinating information. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back with Shimon for all of this right after this quick word from our friends at Gold Co. The last time the economy looked this bad, the stock market tanked. The economy collapsed and inflation hit record highs. But at the same time, the price of gold shot up 1,300%. It could happen again. Can you afford to miss what could be the biggest gold and silver boom of our generation? Not to mention, precious metals can potentially safeguard your future with tangible assets rather than just digits on your bank manager's screen, which could disappear at the press of a button. Visit the link in the description below or call 855-913-0814. That's 855-913-0814 to protect your retirement savings and get up to $10,000 in free silver. This offer is exclusive to the United States. So if you're in the US, call and protect your wealth today. Well, we're joined today by Shimon Janowitz. He's been on with us before. He's an amazing, amazing researcher, engineer, and the stuff that he's uncovered alongside people like Matt Taylor, Dr. David Nixon, and many, many other wonderful people around the world, including Dr. Anna Mahaitcha, is just astounding to me. I've asked Shimon, he's got a lot of information he wants to bring forward today, but I've asked him to also look at something that I was sent recently in my Telegram, which shocked me, and I alerted Shimon and other doctors around the world straight away about the nanotechnology being found in saliva or in the sputum. So we've got a lot to unpack today, Shimon, but please let us know where you would like to start.
Let me start by telling you about the volatility that I found in the injectable matter.
Yes.
And the amazing way it spreads and probably sheds as well. And maybe I'll start by showing you some paper, a scientific paper from Thailand. And that will, I think, get us into the essence of the thing. So I want to show how inherently toxic these vials are and how they contain toxins straight from the vials. No need to be manufactured inside the body as this official unreliable narrative goes. And again, how amazing this nanotechnology is and what it can do.
Absolutely. Please go ahead.
So this is a paper from Thailand. And as you can see here, it's from the very end of 2021. And what the title is, Ocular Surface Erosion After Suspected Exposure to Evaporated COVID-19 Vaccine. So yes, they also found that this thing evaporates. And what is described here is an incident that took place in what they call a vaccination center in Thailand. So let me scroll right down to the diagram that shows what happened and how it was. Okay, here it is. This is the setup of the facility. So you see, they have their a six compartment vaccination center, and then there is some lobby here and a back room with some bench preparation area. You can see some photos of the how this place looks. And the incident is basically a nurse. Let me just say that in this particular case, they're talking about CoronaVac brand, which is made by Sinovac in China.
Right.
So let me just say that my personal belief is that all these injectables were made the same. They contain the same technology because they are being different makers are being used in different countries, but they wouldn't inject the entire world population with different things, would they? I think they're
No.
pretty much prepared for the same thing to go into everybody.
Well, I
So,
will say, Shimon, I will say that we do have batches that show different contaminants in some places. We have some batches that are sh that are that are being identified as kill shots, some batches that have been identified as disability shots, some showing they purposely sent those batches out. But in terms of the agenda to get everyone implanted with nanotechnology so that they can then be linked to, again, goes back to Bill Gates' patent 060606, be linked to the system that you mine crypto in order to get your biometric data, your biometric data gets sent to this AI supercomputer mines crypto. I mean, that's the simplest way that I can explain to people. Every single person, according to these globalists, must be injected with this technology to make that possible. So in that regard, I 100% agree with you, but please go on.
yeah, I agree. These are technology injections that I think all of the batches contain the nanotechnology to chip us and turn us into cyborgs with direct wireless communication to our brains as this agenda goes. And some of the batches contain further nanotechnology and toxins, and unfortunately for the genocidal part of this agenda, which is to kill people. And you're right, we see by the work of Craig Pettycooper, he has a website, How Bad Is My Batch? Every person can go there, test their batch number to see how many adverse events and how many deaths were associated with any batch. So in this particular case, we don't know how deadly this batch was, but a nurse dropped a vial accidentally, so dropped on the floor and snapped, and some 0.5 cc of injectable matter spilled on the floor, as this diagram shows. So they took some maybe a paper towel and wiped this off the floor and put it in the trash bin, thinking that things could continue as normal. They didn't quite continue as normal. Here's what happened. So I think there were maybe 11 people, and others joined in. So a total of 15 person.
Personnel.
Yeah, so there were 15 personnel there. So some went in, some went out. So about 15 people in total developed this. So what you see here is four people out of the 15 or thereabouts, and it didn't happen immediately. So after a few hours, you can see this nurse here has red eyes. I can tell you that when I put the injectable matter on a glass slide under my microscope, and this time I did not use a cover slip, just like David Nixon and Matt Taylor did, to allow more volume of matter to see more elaborate chip development. That wasn't such a good idea. The cover slip protects, and this time I wasn't protected, and there were fumes, and just, but just by looking at the vial through the microscope, my face was near the sample, and clearly there was evaporation because I developed exactly what you see in the eyes of this nurse, and it took a few hours. And these are the corresponding
I mean,
ocular.
that's just evidence of how toxic this stuff is, Shimon. But yes, please go on.
It's not just toxic, it evaporates and then condensates in the eyes, on the skin. And so we see here the damage to the eyes, and you can see also another nurse. In addition to eye problems, she developed burns on the upper chest and neck.
Wow.
And this nurse developed burns in the back of his ear, and this one burns on the forehead. So this matter evaporated, and I think it's just a spacious place. And yet some 15 people were affected up to hours after the incident, where the paper towel or whatever they used to wipe this off was inside the dustbin. So this thing is toxic and it evaporates. Now it occurred to me, Maria, immediately, if this is volatile, then if people are injected with this, then this sheds through vapor.
Yes.
And just like, if someone drinks a lot of alcohol, you can smell it off them, right?
Yes.
So I think this is the same principle. And what I found, I'll show you on my microscope, is exactly that. But let me just go down here, scroll to the conclusion part. I want to make a point. They arrived at the conclusion here. We recommend caution during vaccine handling and fastidious cleanups of any spills. That's their recommendation or conclusion. So let me just tell you how ridiculous this is. Instead of arriving at the right conclusion, which is this stuff is dangerous, it should be wiped off, not of the floor of the vaccination center, but from the face of the earth. And if it burns your skin from meters away, under no circumstances should you allow this thing to be injected into your body.
Of course.
Okay, so this is this paper. And another one that I want to show you. This paper describes what they call the mRNA lipid nanoparticles platform, lipid nanoparticles component used in preclinical vaccine studies is highly inflammatory. Okay, I don't want to go too much into this paper. I just want to show you the findings of these people. We know that they, whatever other things these injectables contain, they do contain lipids. And some of these lipids, at least we know in the case of Pfizer and Moderna, there are at least two lipids that were never authorized to be used in humans, and in fact in animals either. So what they did is they injected mice with just these lipids, right? N nothing else. And they discovered very serious things, like these mice. What they found was production of various inflammatory cytokines and chemokines.
Yep, robust inflammatory response is characterized by massive neutrophil infiltration. And that is something, the neutrophil infiltration is something that very early on in the piece, Shimon, Australian scientists contacted me about and were they showed me how the neutrophils are just being destroyed because they're, I mean, the body is not supposed to have these substances in it.
Absolutely. And You can see that it resulted in high mortality rate. Now, I have listened to a few presentations by a renowned German pathologist, retired Professor Arne Burkhardt, and he demonstrated with some dye that the spike protein, in quotes, gets into cells and organs, and then there is cell death and high inflammation, and we have the invasion of cytokines. What I want to show you is that this narrative doesn't seem to be reliable, because all it takes is for these lipids to get into the body. No mRNA, no spike, nothing else. Just these lipids create this effect. And in fact, his method or methodology for detecting the so-called spike protein was just to purchase some dye that is said on the label to detect spike protein. But I think it could well be that this dye simply detects these lipids, and the cytokine invasion and the neutrophil, sorry, the neutrophil invasion is something that we see in all autopsies of the few that were done. Not many were done.
Yes.
And so this matter in the injectables is toxic straight from the vial, and it tends to cause pneumonia and all lesions in other organs, very elaborate pathology, and ultimately death of the rats or the mice. So this is, it goes on to show what they did and the results and how toxic this is. So we need to understand that the official narrative seems completely fake to me. You inject people with materials that are volatile, are toxic, cause your body to develop some elaborate immune response and start doing all sorts of bad things that result in tissue and organ damage and sometimes organ failure, and in fact, sudden death syndrome and so on. This is without even discussing the construction of self-assembly nanotechnology.
It is consistent with some of the things that Karen Kingston has said, and she said that the mRNA, it's not even about that. It's not even about the. It is. So she's saying that this is a part technological, part biological weapon. The whole purpose, the whole thing is about the lipid nanoparticles. And I'm paraphrasing here. She delivers it much better than I do. But that's essentially what Karen's been saying.
That's true. I have direct communication with Karen Kingston, and she does show a lot of patents that support her claim. But I'm not showing patents. I'm showing more hard evidence, direct papers of findings from these actual things, not in theory, but in practice. And I'm going to show you some microscopy things. And they all support the same claim that this mRNA narrative is completely fake. These things are toxic, they're volatile, they're designed to create nanotechnology, and they are designed to, they have a built-in shedding mechanism through this volatility to spread, to cause jabbed people to infect unjabbed people. And this is all very serious. And now I'm not saying that there isn't any genetic material such as RNA and DNA in those things. There could be, but it's not meant to produce any spike protein. And I want to re-emphasize, we have never to date anywhere in the world demonstrated that any single cell exposed to this mRNA, even in vitro, has produced a molecule called spike protein. So I think that these toxins go into the body directly from the vials. Now, there could be other nefarious uses for genetic material. DNA and RNA, if you just randomly inject them to people, they tend to, there is something called silencing RNA. They simply disrupt the normal operation of cells. They could get integrated into the nucleus of cells, change the genome, the DNA, and then these cells don't function as they should anymore, and then you get ailment, and sometimes adverse events and even mortality, but there are also toxins, right? And if these things burn your eyes and your skin, this is not good, is it, Maria?
No, I wouldn't enjoy that. I mean, I think to me, we've established already how dangerous these things are. Every time we hear new evidence of what they've done to people, you know, this isn't even being injected. This is just exposure in the air. But what is that then? What's happening every time we interact with injected people? What's happening when we're in a closed space, like an elevator with injected people? There are people, Shimon, who've gone back to work who are around injected people every day. What, I mean, how much danger are these people actually in?
Well, I'm not jabbed, and I think I was the first one in the world to look at my own blood, the blood of Angela, because we know we find graphene oxide or graphene base or carbon species based structures in the blood of jabbed people. What we didn't know is that the unjabbed also have this. So my colleagues, David Nixon, other colleagues from Australia, New Zealand, and elsewhere, and Dr. Anna Michalcia, have also started looking at the blood of unjabbed, and voila, we find plenty of structures, pathology in the blood, inflammation, micro blood clots, and all that in the unjabbed. So
can I ask Shimon, is this the unjabbed that have perhaps, because a long time ago, and you know, don't mean to be crude here, someone I can't remember who I was speaking with, but they were saying that particularly through intercourse it will shed because it's bodily fluid. Dr. Robert Malone very long time ago said it just by talking to someone who was vaxxed, being close to them, not vaxxed, injected, being close to them, it could shed like that. You know, how long does it stay, or is it just simply being around people that are injected? How do we know this from the people that you've tested?
What we know is that this is volatile. So I suggest that just like alcohol, if you are injected with this, and you simply exhale fumes of this material, and other people can be infected by it. It could also spread by skin contact through the sweat glands, and maybe some bodily fluids as well. But it's not just sexual intercourse. I think a lot of people that I know describe that, myself included, that just being in the vicinity of jab people, something is happening, something is in the air. And you saw the evidence. This is volatile material, and it creates fumes. And then I will show you, these fumes also condensate, and they have terrible consequences potentially on unjabbed people.
Well, a lot of people tell me they can feel it. They say that they can feel it around them. I interviewed Mark Steele recently. He said that they are emitting an EMF signal, and that's probably what people are feeling. You know, there's something. I have to say myself, I can feel something when I'm in a group of people that I know are injected.
Mark Steele is right in the fact that they are emitting some electromagnetic signal, because we find electronic circuitry there that interacts with the 4G and 5G and even routers and smartphones.
Yes.
And echoes a Bluetooth signal. So people are emitting electromagnetic radiation, and it can be easily detected by doing a Bluetooth scan.
Yes. We've spoken about this before. We've spoken.
The other part is that they are emitting fumes, and this is not electromagnetic. So I don't blame Mark Steele. He couldn't have known about this part, but I've just showed you, and I'm going to show you more on my testing. So this is highly volatile, and it spreads by fumes. In addition to everything that electromagnetic radiation does, and one thing that electromagnetic radiation does, and this has been confirmed by by myself, by Matt Taylor, and by Dr. David Nixon, is that when we apply electromagnetic radiation to the sample, it becomes a lot more active, a lot more volatile, and I will show it to you.
Please.
So the injections and the electromagnetic systems obviously were designed to work together, not only in wiring us to their AI cloud and hacking our brains, as my compatriot Yuval Noah Harari boasts, but also to activate and sometimes to dissolve structures. Both Matt and David Nixon have great footage of a chip assembling and then disassembling,
yes,
depending on the amount of electromagnetic radiation that it is exposed to. I can speculate that the other structures, some of the structures that may be carrying toxins around the body, could be triggered to open up by some electromagnetic signal and then spill their contents into the bloodstream. And then this is a kill switch. I don't think this is far off. I think this is exactly what's happening. And this is why we see, in my mind, people so long after they have been injected still continue to suddenly, out of nowhere, drop dead. Suddenly, without too many warning signs. And then there are, though, of course, those who have severe adverse events and even deaths.
Yes, like, because they're not all dying from a heart attack. They're not all dying from known, you know, conditions. In fact, we've seen footage from around the world, Shimon. People look over their shoulder, they go into a frenzy, and then they drop on the floor and, you know, they're kind of having some sort of a fit. We don't know what the end of those people is. I myself have personally witnessed something that looks exactly like that occurring in a shopping center. Thankfully, the gentleman got up afterwards and walked off, although he looked completely dazed and confused. But, you know, we just don't know what's actually happening inside of people, how they will react for certain with the EMF that now is able to interact inside of their bodies. I mean, it's really, I often refer to
exactly.
This as Twilight Zone stuff, but we have to talk about it. Okay, please take us through some more of what you brought for us today. And then I really want to get into the discussion about the sputum as well before we wrap up later on.
Okay, so let me just briefly say that the time interval between the injection and the adverse event can be days and it can be months. And
yeah.
This is the worrying part.
This broadcast is brought to you by sponsors of the Stu Peters Network, Bioptimizers. Would you like to dramatically improve the quality of your sleep? Are you irritable or anxious? Do you struggle with insomnia, experience muscle cramps or twitches? There are dozens of symptoms of magnesium deficiency, so these are just a few of the most common. 4 out of 5 Americans are magnesium deficient, and almost everyone is at suboptimal levels. And that's a big problem because magnesium is actually involved in more than 600 biochemical reactions in your body. Now, just taking any magnesium supplement won't solve your problem because most supplements use the cheapest kinds that your body can't actually use or absorb. That's why this broadcast exclusively recommends Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the only full-spectrum magnesium supplement with 7 unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually use and absorb. When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded, from your brain to your sleep, pain and inflammation, and, of course, less stress. Visit the link in the description below and enter code MARIA to get a whopping 25% off any order and support your body while supporting businesses that keep independent media going and who actually care about your health.
This also relates to the sputum and saliva thing, but this is how the matter from the vial looks like under the microscope. So this is a real-time recording. I may move the slide forward a little bit. Is it playing? Yeah, now it is. So you can see swarms of hydrogel particles swimming in this sample.
Yeah.
There's already something that this white thing here that looks like it wants to assemble into some straight structure, and there are things glowing and glittering, and here is a turbulence. Now, what I did, I just used my smartphone to I put it near the sample to just feed some electromagnetic radiation into the sample, and then it became very active. And I want to show you what's happening here. It's a matter of minutes. So let me just, the focus is a little bit better now.
Sure.
You can see some filament or rod developing here. And here comes the interesting part. So that's okay. We are now 5 minutes into the session. What I want to show you is that suddenly all the hydrogel matter in the middle of the sample turned muddy. So we can't resolve with an optical microscope. We cannot resolve individual nanoparticles. But if there are billions of them, if there's a swarm, a cloud of them, we can see that cloud. And this is what we see here. And suddenly the more coarse hydrogel turned into much finer mud. So it looks muddy.
Right.
And now it's going to get even more interesting. So you can see that black vacancies start building up in the sample. So material, the muddy hydrogel is being pulled out of the sample, and it goes somewhere else, and here is where it's going. Okay, look at that. This is all real time, right? So that, yeah, here you go. Oh. So what we see here, you see the material from the center of the drop. It's just a drop of maybe 5 millimeters in diameter.
Yes.
Suddenly we have this crystallization or deposition.
Yes.
And this is going to be interesting for the discussion on the saliva and sputum. Look how quickly these things grow. So there is a change of phase from pure hydrogel to these deposits or crystalline structures. And they're growing and growing and growing, and I'm going to move forward a little bit.
Before you go forward, I just wanted the audience to be aware that was real time. Shimon wasn't fast forwarding that. That was how quickly they were growing real time, second by second. Anyway, sorry, do go on.
Yeah, so exactly. So this is real time. And so what we see here is there is obviously the vial that I was using is a diluted vial, so there is some saline solution added to it, which contains water. And as water starts evaporating, and with the introduction of some electromagnetic signal to speed things up, these scary-looking things start to get deposited and grow, and they have this fractal look, which amazingly resembles very much saliva, and talk about this later. They could also be potentially fractal structures for being used as antenna, just very efficient antenna. This is the nature of the fractal structure, so they can absorb readily external electromagnetic radiation and use its energy for the self-assembly that you and shedding that you will see later. So I'm going to move this a little bit forward just to show you that the entire sample has turned into this is a lower magnification, and this is 17 minutes into the session. So it's not days or weeks, right? I can imagine this happening in the bodies of the poor people who were injected with this.
So, Shimon, have we ever have you ever seen anything like this under any other microscope samples, like,
Yeah, Dr. David Nixon has images, similar footage.
No, I mean outside of looking at the COVID-19 injection, does anything else look like this?
No, the one thing that I did find was after you asked me about what happens to sputum and saliva.
Yes.
And what I found is that this is amazingly like saliva. And the interesting thing about saliva, and there are scientific papers about saliva and how it creates this structure, is that saliva is pretty much like this artificial hydrogel, and it contains a mixture of salts, minerals, and lipids, and proteins in water in an aqueous solution. So saliva tends to deposit like this. So I will show you the paper. So the conclusion is that this obviously contains saline, which is a salt, a mineral, and it contains lipids, but potentially also proteins. So in addition to everything we said, there could be some toxic proteins embedded in this in the vials. And again, nothing manufactured inside the body, but they could be toxic. And the deposition patterns that I show you here resemble just that. Okay,
Right.
so I'm going to take this to the end because this has stopped pretty much.
Sure.
And let's move on to the next video. This is more of the same. Okay, this is where we things really start to get very nasty. So what you see here, Maria, this is the boundary of the central drop that I placed on the glass slide. It's only a 5 millimeter drop, and this is it. The
Right.
glass slide itself is much larger than the 5 millimeter. It's more like a few inches by an inch. And already here you can see chip-like structures that develop towards the edge of the sample. It's called the coffee cup area, another chip. So this is at this point, and here is the fractal structure. At this point, this is still similar to what Dr. David Nixon has already shown. So I've replicated and repeated his work. And
Right.
then, upon applying the electromagnetic boost from my cell phone, I decided to look away from the drop. So this is the edge of the drop. So nothing else should be in outside of the drop, right?
Correct.
So here is what we see outside of the drop. Look at this. All of this material has. You see, by different methodologies, I think it's evaporation and condensation, as well as sputtering. It filled the glass slide completely. This is the clearly the position. Sorry, this thing here is condensation of evaporated matter, and we also have splashes. This is just amazing, amazing stuff. It almost looks artistic.
I'm not understanding, Shimon. So we're saying that it's condensation and things like that. Is that not something that we would expect, or?
No, I don't think we knew. But this paper from Thailand that I showed you
Yes.
demonstrated that this thing is volatile. No one knew that. No
Right.
one knew that you sit close to a sample, your eyes could get burned, and that
Right.
your glass slide could be covered with this entire surface with this material. And this is what we are finding. So if this is so volatile and it spreads so easily, then it means it could just as easily shed from people through exhalation.
Yes.
And through sweat glands and through bodily fluids. What I want to show you is the amazing coverage area of this. And this is not the end of it, because these depositions and condensations then further develop. Look at this. There's some firework patterns. Here is a. You can already see, where was it? Here. Do you see this fiber here?
Yes.
So a fiber has already self-assembled from the fumes, from the deposition, not from the main drop.
Wow.
Okay. And it, look how long it is. So it's quite impressive. And I'm going to show you more structures.
Can I ask, is this the first time that you've done this, Shimon? Has this been replicated, this particular experiment?
This is the first time that anyone has done this, as far as I know.
Right.
And I think it is important to note that there are people out there. I don't know if you want me to name names, but there are, you know, some very big names out there trying to convince people that what I'm showing to you and to the audience here does not actually exist, right?
Yes.
This not only has not been done, but people are trying to deny that it exists, but there's no denying, Maria. This is really happening. And you can see some structures assembling as this filament that I showed earlier. You see here
we can say openly, Shimon, that I saw a recent interaction between Dr. Brian Cole and Astrid Stuckelberger. Dr. Astrid Stuckelberger, Dr. Astrid actually said to Dr. Brian Cole, "You're not a graphene oxide expert.
She told him, "You are not a nanotechnology expert,
correct.
You are not qualified to discuss nanotechnologies," and I tend to agree with her.
Yes, but by the same token, many of us have never been nanotechnology experts. We're all learning, and so I actually, just for the record, I reached out to Dr. Brian Cole for comment. I haven't received a response, so I'd like to give him the opportunity to present his case, as I have with everyone else. And I'm still waiting to hear back. So I just want that for people to know that.
Thanks for clarifying that. And so you see more deposition and condensation structures. I think it's important to see the richness of this expansion. We cannot call it shedding because it's from the vial. It sheds when it enters the body of people. And here is going back to the main drop just to show you that there still is the main drop. All the other things are far from the main drop. And this is what we get. So this is highly volatile. And not only volatile, I've seen, I didn't capture this on in this footage, but electromagnetic radiation energy goes into this. Some splash, it starts sputtering away from the main drop sideways. This is amazing. I have to give it to them. They've been hard at work developing this amazing technology. And this technology is way beyond anything anyone has seen before, apart from these people from DARPA or other places who have developed this. Other patterns. So let me see if there.
What is that?
These are simply the patterns that develop away from the main drop on the glass slide.
Well, I understand that, but that just looks a bit different to everything else that you've shown. That's why I ask.
Yeah, so I think that the way it's different is because it doesn't spread just by one method. It's not just evaporation, it's also sputtering. The sputtering is the technical term for material that spits itself and throws itself to distance. And here is the some of the chips in the main drop. So what I want to show you now is so we have the chips as well, but the chips tend to stay in the main drops, whereas the other structures that I'm going to show you tend to develop away from the main drop.
And the other structures don't ever develop into chips?
No.
Okay.
And this is a structure that I have captured previously using a cover slip on the glass slide. So this is we know what this is.
It's a graphene ribbon.
Electron microscopy shows that this is carbon and oxygen, so this is probably graphene oxide. With an optical microscope, we cannot identify the composition, but with spectroscopy we can, or spectrometry, and this is what everyone now recognizes, the graphene oxide structures. Now, this was with a cover slip, and at the time I didn't get the chips to develop because you need some thickness, and the cover slip restricts the thickness of the sample. So I moved from this to the not using the cover slip. I burned my eyes in the process. And here is one of the chips that I captured, very nice looking chip. We still haven't proven that this electronic circuit or circuitry that we found is the responsible for the transmission of the Bluetooth signal. So we are still working on that. But this is our best candidate for that, and we suspect that this is the source. But I want to show you this is more of the okay. So now you can see the coffee cup pattern, and you can see this is very low magnification. So all these black squares here are the chips that Dr. David Nixon has a lot of pictures of,
Yes.
and they tend to develop. This is the interface area between the main drop that I placed on the cover slip and this surroundings that I'm now going to show you. So some chips, and now we move away from the main drop and we see self-assembly of things that we've already seen before, and these are things that correlate well with these ribbons, tubes, and filaments with what is found in the blood, in live blood analysis of jabbed people. So this, Maria, solved another mystery that we've had. You know, we noticed that from a finger prick, it is possible to obtain very large graphene oxide structures in live blood analysis. And it is unclear because the finger prick is fed by small capillaries. How could such huge structures, sometimes tens or hundreds of microns, reach through the capillaries the tip of a finger? So now we know the answer is they don't. They self-assemble in situ. It's the hydrogel that is much smaller particle that swims in the blood and then it gets trapped in the capillaries. And there it, as this self-assembled on my glass slide, I am assuming that these things assemble in blood vessels and capillaries of people.
Well, hang on a
Here are
second. So
most.
we drew the blood out of the person, and then that assembled on the slide. Why was it not already assembled inside of the person?
Well, this is not from blood analysis. This is
Oh.
from the vial. When we draw blood from live blood analysis, it's already assembled inside the person. But
Okay.
we
I
couldn't
understand.
explain how such big structure was assembled inside capillaries.
Yes.
Now we can. So this construction or self-assembly from hydrogel does explain all of this because this hydrogel is a small matter is much easier for which it's much easier to get to through capillaries. Here is a particularly interesting synthetic worm. So I have a lot of these images, and they're all scary. And this is what Ryan Cole and others claim does not exist, right? These are the self-assembled structures. And this is without the carboslip. I have similar ones. You can see this one is a tube. It has an opening, a mouth here. And there are still some splashes here that haven't assembled yet. So this is because I'm doing this in one session. If we wait longer, we see more elaborate self-assembly. This is again self-assembly with some vapor deposited, condensated here, and some other dendrites and depositions. So I think this is a unique opportunity to see how this process works in real time. And it's very active. It contains several mechanisms. And ultimately, we end up with chips and with structures like that, which could contain some of the material, some of the maybe toxins or other things that were deposited and are now stored inside these structures. This is another part that hasn't assembled yet, but you can see some condensation and deposition patterns. This is another smaller dendrite. Okay, I think this is here's another place that looks completely condensation. I think this is maybe enough. Here is a ribbon that assembled in the middle of this thing. Okay, I have more images of these self-assembled creatures, but we could stop right here.
Yeah, sure. We can stop right there. Okay, so Shimon, I sent you and a few other people around the world that I'm in contact with some photos of this. What someone sent me, a concerned audience member, and said, my son, he's showing up with this stuff in his sputum. It's showing up under a microscope, and I want to get your take on this. Have you seen this yourself? Have you been able to replicate it? What does this actually mean if it is in our sputum? I have so many questions here.
Well, I think if the person is unjabbed and it's in their sputum, then it means that it's due to shedding, doesn't it? Well, here is something that I found in a sputum sample. So I used myself and then a volunteer who was coughing. And this is what I found in his sputum sample. Let's see if I have. This is also matter from the sputum plus saliva. And this made me wonder because look, Maria, this is not the injectable. This is sputum and saliva. How come it has similar structures to the one we've seen developing in the vials or from the vials? So it turns out that this is a very interesting question because it turns out that saliva contains similar ingredients to the vial. Saliva contains salts, lipids, and proteins. So what in fact we see in this saliva and or in the vial suggests that they are compatible. This is just it's called a dendrite deposition from the sputum and saliva. And I want to show you this is a video that I captured. This is a saliva sample, and this is the edge of the sample. And I started noticing these things developing, but they were not everywhere. These depositions that we saw from the vials. But if we speed up things a little bit, you can see that very soon we have all these offshoots and shoots and very quickly this thing turns into all dendrites. So I thought first, oh, so my saliva, everyone's saliva is contaminated, which could be the case. But it turns out that saliva actually is known to do that because of its unique composition that contains salts, lipids, and proteins. So do our vials contain proteins as well? Most probably. Another thing is that inside of these, I did find assembled structures. I'm trying to find the one that I'm looking for. So you can see a lot of dendrites like this inside the culture. I'm trying to lock in on the material that is clearly self-assembly. So I'm moving this forward. This is the edge of the sample. Here. So, what is this? This is something that clearly does not belong. And I think maybe I have a better... This is a self-assembled structure in the saliva.
Right.
Okay. So, and similar structures in the sputum as I showed you. And let me show you. Here is another saliva sample. And this is a typical graphene oxide based self-assembled ribbon that we've seen before. So, here it is again. My conclusion would be that the shedding causes these things to reach and assemble in the bodies of even unjabbed people, unfortunately. And this is not surprising, I think.
I have to say, even with that structure, Shimon, and I'm looking at pictures that aren't dark field microscopy, but it doesn't look completely dissimilar to what other microscopy techniques show saliva is concerned. I mean, even if you look at enhanced dark field or dark field, it looks similar. So I really think we need to do more on this. I'm not doubting at all that this is happening, because I'm getting people alerting me to it. But I think we definitely need to do more investigation in this regard.
Yeah, we need to, and I've done some. So I can tell you that these dendrites are typical of saliva. Yes. And but these structures are not typical of saliva. This is an image from a research about saliva crystallizations and so on. So people have been looking scientifically at saliva, and this is what they found. So they know that these dendrite structures, but not the nanostructures, develop from saliva, and that surprised me, because I started thinking that okay, so this means that the hydrogel and the way it behaves is quite compatible with saliva, and they could mingle very well. And I think, in fact, this is exactly what's happening, and this is it all contributes to shedding.
Right. So what have they found in these studies?
Well, the what they found was not so important to us, I think, as much as the fact that saliva creates such depositions.
Right.
And that shouldn't surprise us.
Yes.
Here they are again.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so these dendrites are normal. They are not normal in a vaccine or in an injection, but normal in saliva.
Yes.
And another thing that I want to share with you, if my computer will respond, is this. And this is more serious. This is texture analysis of protein deposits produced by droplet evaporation. And this touches directly on the injectable matter that evaporates. So the thing is that these things contain the here's an example here. You can see the crystalline or dendrite structures in droplets of droplets that have a liquid has evaporated from, and they all create these dendrite-looking structures. So, however, all these samples contain the same combination as saliva. So, water, like salt, saline, and lipids and proteins. And this is the typical pattern of deposition of these materials. So again, we see, we know the these deposition already. We just don't know, we didn't know that they contain protein. Therefore, we can conclude that it is quite possible that the injections contain proteins. If they contain proteins, these proteins could be toxic in addition to the lipids that
Yes.
are volatile and toxic. So no one to date, as far as I know, has done a thorough chemical analysis of the injectables. So we don't know what lipids, enzymes, proteins, genetic materials they contain. By doing the optical microscopy and by looking at these papers, it seems to me the hard evidence says that these contain volatile material that is toxic. Proteins aren't volatile, lipids can be. We all know that the Pfizer and Moderna contain unauthorized lipids, never authorized to be used in humans nor in fact animals. But what about the proteins? The crystallization or deposition patterns suggest that there are proteins in there. We don't know the genetic material in there. We are told it's mRNA, that it's unique mRNA. No one has shown us. So I want to conclude by saying that it takes more than my microscopy efforts to be able to analyze the injectable matter thoroughly in terms of all its components. So we don't just want to show that it creates self-assembling nanotechnology. I want to show that it might contain toxic lipids. We know, in fact, Pfizer and Moderna have declared. By the way, I have more papers, but we can go on and on. We know that volatile lipids tend to be carcinogenic and mutagenic. So we know, we heard about the turbo cancer cases coming out of these injections. So these cannot be the nanotechnology alone. A thorough analysis of these injectables is due, and unfortunately, we need also labs that are equipped with the biological equipment to do sequencing, to do protein analysis. The fact that there is self-assembly of nanotechnology, we already know. It's the toxins profile that we don't yet fully understand, but we see the effects of, and this is most worrying. And to me, it's unfathomable that billions of people lined up to be injected with this concoction of technologies and toxins without ever asking what went in there. And this is just amazing.
Isn't
And
it?
what another thing is that the powers that be seem to have made sure that those who did get jabbed would infect all of us.
It's absolutely disgusting. And here's the thing, you mentioned that we need a thorough chemical analysis on the vials. I agree with you. We need to not be in denial about what it could be. We need to do a thorough analysis and say, absolutely not, this is the elimination. It's not that. Great. We haven't had that yet. And you know, we can't make statements about it, absolutes, until we know. But also to know what else is in there that's causing. Let me put it this way, Shimon. This is a weapons program. We already know that. Just earlier this week, I interviewed Catherine Watt, who's been working with Sasha Ladipova and others around the world, talking about the fact that this is a DoD weapons program. This is a military operation to kill off the population, to control the population, to get them injected, to harm you. This is a military biological weapons program against the people. So right now, if we have things where we can actually prove, the fight back has to be so hard because they are doing everything that they can to implement military, medical, martial law all around the world, Shimon. So we have to. The recommendations that you've made, I absolutely agree. I want to draw people to the recent interview I did with Dr. Nixon. It's on zmedia.com, where he shows that colloidal gold is helping get some of this stuff out of the body. Please watch that, and reach out to Dr. Nixon for more information, and be very careful with, I mean, we give all the warnings in that video. But the bottom line is, we have so much evidence now, Shimon. We need to hold these people accountable. And anyone who has the resources that you've mentioned to get this analysis done, we need to, because the contracts that the governments have made, not only with Pfizer, but with the US government, if we can prove the absolute toxicity of these injections and what's in here causing all of these anomalies, this will add to the arsenal that we have against these people. We don't have much time. We have to keep going. We have to double down our efforts. I say this every time, and I mean it 100%. So everything that you've done today, and thank you, Shimon, even for going out of your way to have a look at the sputum, and confirm that some of it was normal, some of it wasn't, because number one, that's your honesty, and number two, that's the whole point of science. We're supposed to have a look, discover, eliminate certain things, and we need to keep doing that. And you're playing such a crucial, crucial role. Again, for the people that haven't seen it, please watch the interview with Dr. Nixon recently about colloidal gold, nanotech being removed from the body, disappearing, on zmedia.com. Shimon, have you got a Substack or anything yet, or are you still just doing interviews with people?
I'm still doing interviews with people. I did two videos with Sasha, and I was working with Sasha. We assembled this group that Matt Taylor and Dr. David Nixon are in, and we are trying to get some bio experts to do like sequencing and protein analysis. This proves to be a lot more difficult, but I plan to open a Substack. I think the visual information that I can bring through meeting you and other interviews is of the utmost importance. And also, we need to write some scientific papers and get them into journals,
Yes.
because that gives us more credibility, and we are doing just that.
Yes, wonderful, Shimon. Thank you so much. As soon as you have a Substack, let us know so that we can put it up there, and people can follow your work. But yes, scientific papers in journals. Anyone that knows what's going on and can actually submit those papers, get that happening. Everyone, just keep going. Keep going. We cannot give up. This thing is on its last legs, I'm telling you.
I call to people to contact us if they can have important contributions.
How can they do that?
Well, through you and through Sasha Latipova, through Dr. David Nixon, through me, through Matt Taylor. Maybe we'll make my email address available offline or something, and allow people to contact, communicate with us.
Well, yes, that's fine. If people come through Z Media, we'll direct them to you, and that's all fine. We don't want to dox people's details online. Only James Rogowski does that. He doxes himself every time he comes on. It's hilarious. Again, Shimon Janowitz, thank you so much for your time and everything that you're doing. We'll be speaking with you again soon. God bless.
Thank you, Maria. A pleasure to be with you again.
Well, as you all know, it is the businesses that support independent media that enable us to continue getting the truth out. But they don't just support us, they support you. They support you with solutions for you and your family. You all know I'm a prepper myself. I believe in this wholeheartedly. So if you're in the United States, head to heavensharvest.com, link in the description below with my promo code for 5% off for the highest quality emergency survival foods. They are an amazing supplier of emergency survival foods. They also have water filtration and storage. Heirloom seeds, please start growing your own stuff. We just do not know what they are going to put inside of these products come, you know, the next few months that they're selling us on the shelves. We don't know what's in our capsicum when we buy it. We already know that Canada was talking about, you know, mRNA lettuce some time ago. And you know, despite the conversation that we've had with Shimon today, I certainly, whether the problem is mRNA or not in the injections, we know that mRNA is able to change our genes. And the CRISPR technology is being rolled out across the world through these lipid nanoparticles that are a delivery system that are modifying genetic organisms. They are modifying natural organisms. So the delivery system is there to do this in our bodies, in our foods, in our skies. Please, please consider heading there and getting at least heirloom seeds and growing your own stuff. But I recommend having buckets of food because we never know when the power shortages, power outages, cyber attacks, and all of the above are coming. We'll get onto that in a minute. If you're in Australia, head to survivalsuppliesaustralia.com.au. Prepare you and your family with emergency and survival gear. Grab and go bags. If you have to flee last minute, you have a bag there ready for you. First aid, medical supplies, camping gear, and of course, food. We spoke about Gold Co. earlier. If you're in Australia, head to goldstackers.com.au. They have locations in pretty much, you know, Sydney, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Melbourne, and Singapore. These guys are amazing. They're honest. They're good people, and they will give you good advice, unbiased advice about gold and silver bullion. Why it is so important is because the financial system is collapsing before our very eyes. And I always talk about this. The final draw card of the globalists is to stop our communications. Head to sat123.com/Maria. They have satellite phones that work on every continent. It is encrypted communication. They also have the Bivy device, which allows you, it's a revolutionary device. It allows you to message your loved ones, even when you don't have cell phone service, through your cell phone. And also Galileo is another service that I've been talking about. This is one that enables you to send group messages. It also is an encrypted service where people can subscribe, receive encrypted messages from me. And you know, it enables us to bypass all of the channels that we know that they're watching. But more than anything, natural disasters, you never know what's going to happen. Look at what's just happened in the United States with this train wreck. It enables, and a journalist that reports on it ends up going to prison. So it enables people to warn others of severe biological attacks that are happening, you know, to warn their family, to communicate, you know, if they're going to start arresting journalists for telling you the truth and warning you that there's toxic carcinogenic chemicals in the air that have been released that the media is not telling you about, at least you can protect yourself and your loved ones. So again, the link for that is in the description below. And finally, pray, stay vigilant. We are under immense attack from the globalists. It is coming in hard and fast because the truth is coming out and they need to distract and try and silence us. And those attacks will continue to increase. That is just the reality. I will never lie to you. I won't sugarcoat the truth either. Those attacks will increase as we continue to expose them. And as we get closer to holding them accountable, they have things up their sleeve. So please be mindful of that. Prepare you and your loved ones so that you're not left in a place of fear, trusting in the emergency broadcasting system to guide you and your loved ones. You can bypass that through the service I just mentioned. And Galileo is one of those things that will allow us to communicate outside of the EBS. All right. Stay strong, everyone. Share this everywhere. Thank you to the Stu Peters Network for everything that they do. And I'll see you all very, very soon right here on Uncensored. God bless and good night.